Hello, everyone. I'm Corey.
I'm Eric.
And I'm Alec.
I'm Kate.
And this is the Youtini Avatar Show, proud partner of Youtini Network. We are discussing Avatar, The Last Airbender, the live-action show on Netflix. Now, this week, we are taking a look at Episode 7, where we find our heroes confronting traditions in the Northern Water Tribe, facing personal trials, unveiling deeper layers of their destinies. Thanks for tuning in. If you like what you hear, please leave us a review wherever you get your podcast. Before we get into this week's conversation, we have to thank our sponsor, the United Patreon Community. Head over to patreon.com/Youtini to see everything that our community has to offer. Stay tuned for more details about that later in the show. All right, friends, I am ready to hit it.
So is Sokka.
Oh, get out.
I don't like that. I don't like that one bit. Yes, let's talk about...
Yeah, you've really thrown him off now. He can't even focus.
Yeah.
How come Sokka? Okay, look, I'm gonna use the kid's word. Sokka has no riz at all.
Sokka has no riz.
But yet, it works.
He has riz, but it only happens off
screen. It works.
Just it does work.
Wait, it only happens off screen, just like Aang's waterbending? I don't know.
Exactly. Oh, dear.
Wow.
Out the gate hot. It happened earlier. I don't know if you guys remember this. It was mentioned for like 2 seconds earlier that Sokka was like, I didn't know that firebending chick was a firebending soldier. Like, do you remember that? That was
Yes.
Yeah, he like casually mentioned. We didn't talk about that at all. Yes. All right. Doing some, you know, we were talking about this right before we started recording, doing some research for the show. There's only two things that the internet cares about this episode. It made it really hard to dig into things and find Easter eggs and that sort of thing. They talked about Princess Yue's wig, and they talked about the fact that Aang has not done any waterbending yet, and here we are at the Northern Water Tribe. Now, the only redemption I think I have for that is that that Paku was immediately like, what do you mean you haven't been training?
Yeah.
they did make it a story point.
Yeah. It's 100% on purpose.
They made it a story point.
Yes.
We were all Paku. All of us were like, yes, Paku. We're like, yes.
That's fine. Whereas the wig, zero redemption. We acknowledge it. Not great. I will say no more about it.
That's right. Definitely a flying cat. It looks kind of funny.
Kind of funny?
For sure. They should.
It looks so bad.
The wig was really bad.
It's a bad wig.
They should have just dyed her hair. Oh, dear. It looked really bad. Honestly, the only real costume problem I think I've had with the entire show so far, frankly, like, the costumes are pretty good. I've seen some, I did see a really cool thing on Reddit of somebody who like photoshopped up the costumes to make them a little better. And what they did is they added like wornness to all.
Yeah, they look like they were just made before they got to set.
Yeah. Like the fur on the coats and the water tribe is all very clean and pristine.
It is. I did notice that they're fur lined hoods. I looked at that today. I was like, how are they not cold?
They are right out of the factory. That's why. Yes. This episode was pretty good. Big pros, big cons, I think. But overall, there were some pretty awesome story points hit. There's a lot of stuff that's pretty similar to the original, I think. Mm-hmm. There were several big story points that sort of spun off from the original a little bit. Mm-hmm. But one thing that kind of stood out to me about this episode, it's fairly character organized. I feel like, you know, for one of the first times we got to see everybody really, like, as soon as they arrive, they all split off to their own different journeys, which is very interesting. And
yeah,
I think it makes for a good organization of our conversation here. So let's talk about our characters, starting with our hero himself, Avatar Aang. Let's talk about this.
Whose hero is the question? Is not my hero.
Is that your hero?
Zuko is my hero.
Not my hero. You know whose hero? He's not Paku's. Let's talk about that.
Sorry. Go ahead, Aang.
Yes. How are we, real talk, this is not a criticism of the show. How have we made it to 7 episodes without seeing Aang?
I don't know. What
Very
is he
going
to do in the next episode? What?
I think it's so in your face, especially considering that the animated season was called the Water... what was it called? The Water...
It was
Book
called
of Water.
Book Water. Water.
Yeah.
Book yes. One Water.
Book One Water. Yes. It was just called Water.
Yeah. It was like the Book of Water. It's the Book of Water. Yes.
The Shape of Water. Yeah.
The Shape of Water. Be like a cup. Water feels the cup.
No, I feel like water. I think what's going to end up happening, and I don't know how I feel about it because it just depends on how they write it into the story, is he's going to end up doing all this water bending off screen between 1 and 2, right? Like, we're going to get this big time jump into book 2, and You know, we'll like leave him in the Northern Water Tribe or something and come back and he's going to have like, you know, water bending muscles. I don't know.
Yeah, but how is he going to fight off the Fire Nation?
He just like he always sick. Fights everything with his friends.
His friends. Who is going to become this fish monster?
It's going
to
be
the fish monster has to be there.
Yeah, the big fish monster.
Yeah, the giant.
Yes.
I mean, it's a weird looking.
It's like flipping boats. Dude,
we're not like there. It's a giant water salamander.
We're
thing.
Not, but I'm anticipating
that. Which yes, that honestly, thing. That is very whiskers, like that is yeah. very it like does. Princess Mononoke to me. Every time I saw that thing,
yeah,
it is.
Yeah,
it very much
for the
is.
Purposes of this episode, though. You crazy kids, not here yet.
Okay. I want to know, how did y'all feel about Aang during this episode? I kept being like, what's wrong with you, bud? Like, he kept, like, storming off angry.
Listen, it's because he keeps getting trash yeah. advice from yeah. Avatar.
Kurok like, is not the guy.
He's Kurok just, like, madder and madder and madder every time we see him in this episode.
Majorel, he's like, okay, I'm going to go into the spirit realm. An objectively cool thing. I'm going to go, and I'm going to meet my past selves that have all the knowledge of the history of us. This is so cool. This will be so enlightening. And Kyoshi's like, you suck. Wake up. Okay, that wasn't great. Roku's like, I'm a bit silly.
I'm
going to trust anybody.
Kyoshi's like, first, before you wake up, let me show you how you yeah. actually kick ass. And then she comes out. Like,
murder. Like, they're all kind of angry, and they don't really give him good advice. And he's like, that sucks.
I mean, Kurok put himself in an early grave. He died when he was 33, and he had a objectively horrible time as an avatar. Like,
yeah.
It sounds
so
like
did Jesus, but at least still got the job done.
Oh my god!
I gotta mentally gymnastics recover myself. I just face planted on the mat. My dismount was horrible.
Master of the elements, the spirit realm. Come on, we're right there.
32.
Right, we have to bring
come
back
what? From that.
I did see doing some research, I did see online that is true, that Aang had kind of terrible experiences with all his past avatars, which is one of the reasons in the Korra show, he's not like that at all. He's like straight to the point. He's like, let me help you become a better bear.
Yes,
because my experience with avatars was horrible.
Yeah.
And they were all useless. So
yeah.
They're all kind of like that older sibling that like wants you to suffer.
Well, like
yeah.
They want you to suffer
so like
they did.
Every avatar has like their team avatar. So like the fandoms battle about like which team avatar is better. So like Kurok has his own team avatar. He's got his friends but he gets so obsessed and like paranoid about the spirit realm, and like he keeps having these visions of like the spirit world and the real world having like bridges that open, and he has to protect it, and then, you know, he's kind of a womanizer really in like his storyline. Like, he has all of these girls that he chases, and he doesn't think he'll ever find love, and then of course when he does find love, she immediately gets taken by Ko. So, you know, it's like his story kind of sucks.
Wow.
To be honest with you. And like I totally get it. So like the whole thing with him fighting spirit monsters is he gets told early on, like, if you keep doing this, you're going to drain your own life force. And so Yue kind of says that like he's not really himself. Like he's not really like
he's not
nobody really knows what's going on with him, basically. And
she knows he's been in there. She goes in there every
She's
night.
Like, this guy ain't it.
Yeah.
Don't talk to him. We just pat him on the head. Yeah. Go about our business.
So go back to like your, I think I love all those points from both you guys. And the point that you made, Corey, earlier, like why is Aang kind of rough in this episode? I think it does all make sense when you track all these individual things he's having. Like other people have great time in this episode that I know we'll talk about. I think there's some really good moments. Aang kind of just gets the bummer. For there's no fault of his own. It's just kind of a bummer.
It does, and I think the story is starting to shape up, though, a little bit.
Oh, yes.
Because that's one of the reasons I asked that original question is, you know, I don't want to just say that it's oversight of writing to say that he's not done any waterbending. I think we're starting to see all of these different storylines all kind of converge in this final episode, which is, you know, that Aang is, the past avatars are wrong. Even as a child, Avatar Aang recognizes that.
I mean, King Bumi was wrong.
Yep, King Bumi was wrong. Like, Aang is proving himself. Like, he's proving that you can do this with your friends. You don't have to walk this alone. Like, you know, we're better when we're together than we are when we're apart, right? Like, and, you know, I think we're also starting to see this of, like, everybody has all these expectations of Aang. Why have you been training? Why haven't you mastered everything? And Aang has to do this his own way.
Oh,
right?
Interesting. So maybe he's not going to be, like, the hero we expected him to be, but he's, like, the rallying force.
That's right.
Is he like the martyr?
His,
like Joan of
his
Arc
whole storyline is just that he is his own avatar. He does it his own way. You know, like I think Kyoshi lived like this. She lived like 400 years or something ridiculous. You know, like her she's so one minded and like she's very intense. I think is a great term for her.
Does that Roku say that? He says that about her. Doesn't Roku say like she's kind of intense? Isn't that what he said in the last episode?
Yeah,
he did.
Yeah, Kyoshi, what's your skincare routine? Rage.
Yeah. Yeah. And then like Roku lives kind of like a normal lifespan, but he gets betrayed by his best friend. And then, you know, Kurok he has the shortest lifespan of the three of them. And he basically, you know, as we talked about, just kind of destroys himself willingly.
When Aang does in the animated show, when he meets the avatar before that, actually, I forget what her name is, the air one. And she's kind of. Like, It's so many centuries and generations and separation. Mm-hmm. She mentioned something about that she says, like, you know, it was a different time when I was alive and I can't really help you, right? And so at this point, like, basically all the three main mentors that he has all suck. I mean, you know, Roku is serious and betrayed and he fell off the planet at the worst time possible, right? We have
is this going to be Kyoshi. What the kids... Like, our kids will say about, like, schooling because all the generations before them will be like, I don't know, we had the pandemic.
I think Iroh's going to have to adopt a second son now. He's got to take Aang as his second son.
Well, somebody.
Yeah, I think so. How do you think all this is going to come together, though? I mean, how is Aang's story going to resolve? Because there's a lot of pieces here that could go in lots of different directions, I feel like.
I think where they're going with the dialogue and the stories that they're telling, I think that they're definitely taking the audience on a path of Aang thought he had to rely on the old masters and rely on the past, when really what's going to give him strength is his friends in the present and the connection of the world itself. I think he's definitely going to rock the Avatar state and save everybody. And by relying on, because he has to save his friends, not because he has to do something, they're going to be like, Ben, save us. He's going to be like, I need to help my friends. And that'll unlock the waterbending part of it. And I think that'll be where they go.
I think Yue is going to play a really strong role in the next episode. That's my, like, if I had to just throw something against a wall and make like a crazy bet, I would say that there's something in the fandom that I kind of like.
Yue is going to be the fish
that
monster.
I kind of like, and that's that, you know, Aang living for 100 years in an iceberg kind of threw off the natural rhythm of the avatar. Like, we would expect at this point there to be a water avatar. So the fandom has always had a theory that Yue was supposed to be or would have been the next avatar after Aang.
Interesting.
Oh, you're gonna
And so cry. She, like, her place in the spirit realm...
That's cool.
You know, the animated series is that she was going to die of a sickness and the spirit gave part of its life force to her. And that's why she has something to do with, you know, the spirit realm. And it's at such an early age. But I've always kind of liked that idea of, like, she could have been the next avatar after Aang.
Oh, I'm going to cry.
That's a good theory. I like that a lot, actually.
I like that a lot.
I think that's a good transition, too, also to talk about.
Well, I have an idea. Hold on. Before you transition, I have my theory of how Aang is going to tie all this together.
Okay.
Because I think this is important. When he meets with Roku, he learns this idea that the Avatar isn't only supposed to be powerful, but he's supposed to be a diplomat. And I think this ties into where Aang is going to find himself having his special powers. I think he's going to unify everyone together and use their special abilities to fight off the Fire Nation as a whole unit. Because airbending itself has been described several times in the show as being a defensive and evasive
mode.
So him being an airbender especially, I think he's going to find a way to get around this being powerful thing.
I think it's just going to be the power of love like the Badger Moles. Yeah.
That's why. That'll work. He's going to turn into a fish. Yue's going to turn into a fish. They're going to like do that
swim together
shape thing and make like a
a tornado whirlpool.
It's going to go up into the sky, take the place of the moon. The moon's going to shoot laser beams. Yeah, that's
it. Black hole opens up.
Also, I got to say, as you were describing that theory about Yue, Alec, I just kept thinking like, man, Yue is really like that kid that wants to be a Red Bull driver, but Verstappen gets in like 2 years ahead of them, and it's not their fault, but until they die, the job isn't available.
Yeah.
Max so
Verstappen dies? Jesus.
He's going to be in that seat forever, baby.
I would say, what's the guy's name? Han? The guy that shoots. Han in the show, like in the animated show, is such a jerk, and you freaking hate him. And in this show, he's so cool. Yeah. Like, he's like the nicest guy.
He's nice. Yeah.
And I know. Yet, Yue also rejected his marriage as well.
Okay, I was confused by that. At first, I thought she rejected him because she decided to be a priestess and, like, she took an oath to, like, be pure or some religious stuff.
Yeah.
But then she was like, I just didn't like the guy.
He's not the man of my dreams. You're in my dreams in the spirit world, Sokka.
I met you when I was a fox.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
When I was dreaming.
Go to that. So those two guys. Yeah. I feel like we're right there.
Yeah, 100%. Let's talk about the fox. What's up with the fox?
Well,
my
fox. It sets up like the, what's, you know, that they have a connection that goes deeper. It like in the show, he shows up and he's like, whoa, this attractive girl in a boat. Like, I wonder who she is. And then he finds out at the dinner that she's the princess. And he kind of is like, oh, crap, I'm just a commoner. No shot there. And this one really sets up like, okay, they have a connection and she already feels comfortable with him. And now he realizes who she was. So they have the ability to create a deeper connection quickly, and it makes more sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was a big fan of the storytelling that occurred around
the whole ice cream
UA and Sokka. Yeah, the ice cream. There's a lot of development here. Like, they had a lot of small moments. They were really funny together, and Sokka was like,
they're very similar.
Yeah.
The responsibility that they said that they shared.
That was good. Yeah. And it talked about the responsibility to the village. He was like, I get that. And she made him ice cream with water bending. Also, she's a water bender now. That's new.
Yep. Yeah, that is new.
Yeah, she was.
Oh, really?
Yeah, dude. She.
I like
she
it.
Bends. She bends the ice cream, which was awesome. That was cool as hell.
I love that.
Cool. I'm not gonna lie, kind of hot.
It was.
It was so sweet. She's like, here, little girl, have this ice cream.
And then she like gets him to come over, and she like feeds it to him or whatever. Yeah. Or like,
hey, do you want ice cream? Like, also, do we have dream sex? Was that just me? Was that?
I don't think we have to go there, but
also
that was smooth. That was smooth. The discombobulate or whatever.
Oh yeah.
Smooth.
Oh really? Yeah.
Also, the actress is Amber Midthunder. She was I don't know if any of you guys saw it, that movie Prey, which was the Predator movie that went to Hulu last year that everyone loved. She was the lead in that. So she's like, because I thought she did a great job, and she is a like up and coming. Like, keep an eye on her. I think she's gonna explode.
She's got a range.
Yeah, as long as she gets a better wig, next job.
Absolutely.
Rough.
She made the wig work, okay?
She did.
No, she had stock head chemistry.
She made the character work.
I thought those two guys knocked it out.
That wig, I couldn't stop staring.
She did.
Yeah. I do think it's an interesting choice to make her a bender, and I think that makes sense. I think it's a great choice, actually. I mean, it makes sense that she is bonded with the controller and creator of waterbend.
Now that she can, it almost makes no sense that she couldn't in the anime.
Yeah.
It does, 100%. So, yeah, it's one of the logical changes, I think.
I wonder if she was allowed to bend the ice cream. It's not healing, so I don't know if she's allowed to do that.
I was curious of that.
She can do that? I mean, well, you do that in the kitchen, Alec, so, you know, it's clear that's where they want the women in this part of the world, so Listen, let's talk about that a second.
I also had that thought.
I think that is another good transition. Let's talk about how friggin' sexist the Northern
Paku
is.
No, it's just Paku.
Paku sucks, dude.
Yeah.
He's always sucked.
He sucked in the show
as
well.
That's from the show, though, right? Like, that's like,
yeah.
This whole duel, this is right on in there, man. And
it was a,
women can't.
Yeah.
It was a little.
Women can't fight.
That's true. It was a little stronger, I think, in the live action show, even than it was in the animated show, which I was a big fan of. I like that it seems to permeate the entire culture in a stronger way.
He didn't even like bother to tell her, hey, women don't fight. He was just like, go to your place. And the healer told her women don't fight. Mm-hmm.
Do you think it was stronger here because they, as they've said, almost controversially, they've peeled back on a lot of like the sexism like with Sokka earlier in the show. So like we really kind of haven't seen that much, which is good. But also like that was part of the show with like Katara being like continuously like, no, I'm strong. Shut up. I don't care about you. Sokka learning and stuff. So because they kind of got rid of that stuff early in the show, I feel like keeping this was like, whoa, like it really felt like.
Yes.
Dude.
Now it's like it's really it's really more in your face.
I think it was more implicit.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't explicit, and I think that's what I appreciate about it.
Yeah, yep.
Is that it wasn't straightforwardly said.
Yeah, it was quite strong, I think. I also, for, I think we were kind of giving the bait and switch a little bit as the viewer. Like, there was a split second where, like, is the Northern Water Tribe actually not super sexist? Because Paku was like, oh, yeah, you can go meet with the masters, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You go learn with the masters, right?
Yeah,
and like, she gets there, and it's like, psych. Yes, not the warrior masters. Like, that was good. That was a good transition.
Yeah.
You know, I think to have that lesson come from the healer was really good. I think it was good storytelling. That was cool too. Actually, getting to see the healer stuff happen with like the wooden thing.
That was really fun.
I was curious. What are they doing? Are they moving lymph through the lymphatic system?
It's all made up.
Thing is happening here. Is this medically accurate?
They're moving water with their mind.
They're actually blood bending. They just don't know it.
She can move blood.
No idea.
Right? Oh no! Oh no!
Yeah, they think they're water bending, but it's actually just blood bending.
Oh my god, that's
they're all training.
It is blood bending. You have a clot here. Let me
so one.
No, there's no real science to that really at all. It's all kind of based in Chinese medicine stuff, but my understanding of that is that it's not really real. There is some validity to like acupuncture and that sort of thing, but like the whole like chakras and all that stuff, I think is pretty much disparate.
So,
it's very cultural.
One of the big highlights, I think, in the misogynistic view of the Northern Water Tribe. So when Sokka is talking to Han and Han's like, oh, you have experience. Like, you know these things. Like, you got to tell us about it, which is something that happens in the animated series. It just happens very differently. And the animated series, Han puts on the armor and is, like, getting ready to talk to his, you know, do this, like, secret mission.
Oh, yeah.
And Sokka's like, what the hell is that? You know, like, they don't look like that. When did you get that stuff? 85 years ago, you got that stuff?
That's right.
So, you know, we get the nice version of Han. He, you know, he wants Sokka to come talk about this. And Sokka feels great because he gets to, like, he's like, I'm important. I feel important. Things are happening. Mm-hmm. And, and then...
Yeah, just checking in. Is this still right?
Updated. And then with Katara, they're like, oh, you have experience? Well, your experience doesn't matter. Oh, you fought? No, don't care about that.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. I think it's quite clear how, when you put it all together, how pretty woefully incompetent the Northern Water Tribe actually is.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
they just have a wall.
Even with their big-ass wall and all their benders and their masters, they're still weak. I mean, how do they have no intelligence on their...
Well, they're in the North Pole. Like, they are probably the most isolated,
Sure, but still, I mean... I think it's kind of the responsibility of their military to kind of keep up with what's going on in the rest of the world. And you think, like, they don't even know what the firebenders wear, for crying out loud, right? And
but I think that also...
I know, it is. Yeah, it's a plot point, and it makes their dismissal of Katara, like, all the more ignorant.
I don't know. I think I would disagree with you, because I think it's saying something about where the world is right now. because all the nations kind of are on their own. The Earth Kingdom's connected to everything because they're front and center and they're the largest country. Like the Water Nation tribes, they're not really connected. Yeah. So maybe they're not really even concerned about the world. They're just concerned about themselves.
And keeping the fur on their clothing as pristine as possible.
That's right. That's right.
Worshipping the moon.
Let's talk about Katara and Paku a little bit because...
Can I say something really quick?
Yes.
Okay. Why was the necklace not mentioned?
That's a good question.
I'm actually upset about that.
I like that it wasn't mentioned.
Oh.
Because...
No. Grand's lover.
I know. He is Grand lover, but in the animated show, that's the only reason he decided not to be a sexist anymore, right?
Yeah.
But in this show, he hasn't really had a big...
Yeah, I think they're pretty much telling us that he's not going to have a turnaround and he's not going to train them.
I don't know. I think we're going to find out.
I think they saw Grand's monologue in the first episode and they're like, I don't think he would have. Never mind.
That was a tough monologue.
Grand.
I like the idea of Katara teaching Paku the lesson rather than just
that's
being
fair.
Like, oh, it's the necklace. Oh, yeah. I'm not sexist.
She still definitely lost.
That's a great point. That's a great point.
You know,
she lost, but she held her own.
No, she did. She did good.
I'd argue this was the first time that we've seen, like, this is the closest we've seen to animated Katara in live action.
Completely agree.
I think I agree with that.
She was a badass. When her hair came down, I'm like, oh,
yes,
shit.
Yes.
That's all you got? And Sokka was like, yeah.
Dude, he told her to kick some ass.
Yes. Kick his ass.
That was a great sibling moment.
It was. That was fun. The fight was really good. The CGI was really good. I was a big fan of that.
I liked that the whole town was with her.
I know.
After the fight, they were like, oh my gosh, no one's bested Paku. Like, you held your
obviously,
own.
Paku
oh my
sucks.
Gosh. Like, that was apparently a... Yeah. This was apparently a big deal, and everyone was really impressed by her. So I think maybe...
All my homies hate Paku.
Yep. The Paw Prowl of Avatar.
He sucks.
He's going to be ousted by the tribe.
Yeah, he is. Maybe Aang will grab him by his goatee the way he did Aozai.
Oh, my God, please. Please.
His hair is bad, too, right?
Yeah, he has terrible bald thing hair. With the
it's so bad, dude. Just shave your head, man.
Just accept it. Just accept it.
Yeah. Like, just shave your head.
That's right. Right, shave your head. All right, the next homies I want to talk about a little bit are our Fire Nation homies. We have not talked about them at all, seeing how every single other episode we've talked about the Fire Nation heavily. Not a lot of Fire Nation this episode, but still a little bit to talk about. But before we do that, we do need to hear from this week's sponsor of the show. We'll be right back. Hello, friends. We're taking a short break from the show to talk to you about our vibrant Patreon and Discord community, which we call The United. The United is the heart of the Uteniverse, where fans of Star Wars, nerd culture, and even sports unite. It's all about diving deep into the fandoms we love with a spirit of passion and positivity alongside other fans who share those same values. Now on Patreon, you'll find an exclusive world of content. From behind-the-scenes peeks at our YouTube channel productions to ad-free versions of all of our podcasts alongside other insider updates. It's really your all-access pass to what goes on behind the curtain and on the team at Uteni. But the United is more than just content. It's a community. With features designed to bring us closer, we're building a space where every fan has a voice. As we look to the future, your feedback and involvement will shape the direction of the United. So this is really your chance to be part of a community that's at the heart of our mission, fostering a sense of belonging that's essential for every fan. If you're ready to join the United, head over to our site, uteni.com, to find our Discord, or to patreon.com/uteni to jump into Patreon. Let's make this community stronger together and dive into a world where your passion for fandom becomes a shared adventure. Now, let's get back to the show. All right, guys, we are back, and I'm ready to dive into the Fire Nation. Not a lot of Fire Nation this episode, which is quite the contrast considering we are, you know, we're in the Water Tribe, so I guess it kind of makes sense. There's a whole lot of Fire Nation.
We just got a lot of the Fire Nation last episode.
We had a ton of Fire Nation last episode.
And I think we might be getting a little in the next one.
I know. I think we might be as well. Let's talk about Azula because...
Oh, yeah. I completely forgot about this.
Man, Azula unlocked a chakra or something this episode.
Yeah.
Dude, the CG of the lightning in her hands was very phenomenal. She looks, the lightning looks terrifying.
She opened up her skill tree, bro, and she was like, I can do this now. Looked epic.
The only thing that I wish that would have happened differently in that episode is I wish she would have shot it at Ozai.
Yeah, I do too.
And I wish she would have just absorbed it and just ricocheted it.
I also wanted that to happen.
That would have been
But she does it. I mean, it's not in the middle of an Agni Kai, but she does the same kind of thing that Zuko does. Right, where like Zuko has an opportunity to make a point, and he doesn't want to harm his father, and she does the same thing.
Yep.
Yes, but she turns it around on Ozai because she is a master manipulator. She turns it around on Ozai and says, "Look what I can do. Use me. I am your pawn." Yeah. Right? Like,
stop playing games.
Exactly. It wasn't in a moment of compassion. No. It was in a moment of, "I am showing you who I am."
Ego. Like she is the most like him. She is like, I have my power. You need to stop putting me on the bench. Like, I'm ready to do this.
I actually really liked that they made her friends give her confidence to do that. Because she was like, I have to be perfect. I have to be perfect. I have to be perfect. She's like killing herself. And her friends are like, your dad's kind of playing games with you,
like you are perfect.
And your dad sucks.
You are perfect. He's just trying to manipulate you again.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
That was actually really special. That was a moment that I don't think we ever got previously.
I gotta say, I was probably a little in the camp of not a huge fan of the characterization of Azula and Ty Lee and May in the very beginning of the show, and I've completely changed my tune on that.
They're so cool.
They're really good. Around. They're really, really good. And Azula is really good.
They're really here for Azula.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. They're besties.
They have. Mm-hmm. They've captured that energy well. And it sounds like we're going to get a ton of that in the next season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It seems like that's being set up. And, you know, it also sounds like, I have some confusion a little bit. It sounds like Azula has maybe been pulling the strings from behind the scenes a little bit, too. Heavily implied that Zhao is basically invading the Northern Water Tribe under the orders of Azula. Did you guys get that vibe?
Yeah.
Yep.
Pretty ballsy, if so. He's an admiral now.
Last episode, we saw Zuko saying, this is bad planning, but he didn't have a plan at the war table. Mm-hmm. And now Azula, on the other hand, is like, I'm not going to go out and say it's a bad plan. I'm going to scheme in the shadows and make my own plan work. Mm-hmm. I love the two sides of the coin of that family.
What is Azula's end game here? Why is she helping Zhao?
Power.
She just wants to go to the top.
She just wants to claim it.
Yep.
She needs a pawn.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And she knows the only person more power hungry than Azula is probably Zhao. So she's like, if I tell him something that will get him to feel like he has a little power, I can move my troops wherever I want and take all the glory and then eventually show my father how important I am so I can then become Fire Lord.
That's fair. I did really like the Zhao stuff in this episode as well. The kind of butting up of heads between him and Iroh was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. We got to see sort of old General Iroh being like, this is a foolish plan, you know, kind of vibes. That was pretty cool. I still don't quite understand how he has mobilized an entire fleet to go invade the Northern Water Tribe without the permission of the Fire Lord at all. I mean, that could certainly be a pretty major plot point later on. Like, almost treasonous activity. Like,
yeah, I think that is probably where we will see him if he doesn't die in the next episode. Mm-hmm. That will be his downfall. Is probably treason.
What is his downfall in the original show? I know he gets banished to the spirit world. He's in the fog. He's in the fog in Korra, mm-hmm. right? We talked about that a couple episodes back. He's in the fog. Why is he in there? Does he die in the animated show? I can't remember.
I watched it 10 years ago. No idea. Honestly.
I should know.
Nobody knows.
Sorry, folks.
Yeah.
I think he gets swallowed by the fish monster. Right? I think the fish monster grabs him and
That actually sounds right. That sounds right.
He's dead.
he got one.
He did.
Got one.
Okay, let's see here. He was the enemy of Team Avatar. Most of the events leading up to the siege of the Water Tribe, during which he killed the Moon Spirit, the Spirit Oasis, has resulted in his downfall by a vengeful Ocean Spirit who subsequently condemned Zhao to spend an eternity in the Fog of Lost Souls in the Spirit World.
That's it.
A fitting punishment.
Good call, Kate.
Oh, he gets. Oh, yeah, he gets. He's fighting, I think, Zuko. Yeah, okay, I remember. He's fighting Zuko on like a bridge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think it's Zuko he's fighting.
And he's just like, yeah, grabbed.
Yep.
Yes. And then he gets grabbed with the big fish hand.
Yeah.
Off that. He gets sucked into the water. That's the last time we see him. I didn't realize that. That's why I was so confused. I was like, did he die? We never saw him.
I mean,
he was in the finale and then he was gone.
He's gone.
I guess he did die. So we got, but he didn't die. He got banished to the Fog of All Souls. So that's interesting.
I mean, I don't know. If you're in the spirit world as a human, are you dead? Because Gyatso died. He obviously died, but he was still in the spirit world.
Spirit world.
Well, and then spirits can, you know, during Korra can travel from the spirit world to the human world. So I think there's some, like, we don't really understand some of that, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Let's talk about Iroh and Zuko a little bit, because that's a fun moment in this episode. I loved the whole little monologue of, like, what's your plan? He's like, my plan is to reclaim my honor and take my rightful place as the Fire Lord of the Fire Nation. And he's like, so no plan? He's like, I'm working on it.
Yeah. Well, and how about that
was like hilarious.
When Iroh was like, oh my God, Zuko dead. Like before that, he even had the moment of like, explode for a hot second. And then like, okay, then we make a play.
To me, that scene was very like dad son at like a baseball game or something, you know, is like, so what are you going to do? You know, you're facing like the best hitter in the county. How are you going to strike him out? It's like, I'm working on it.
I'm
going to win.
I was a big fan of, I was a big fan of how Iroh kept himself together so well in that scene with Zhao. So even though at that moment, I don't think he actually knew that Zuko was alive yet. Like
I don't
when
know
they
if
had that
did
moment.
Or not?
I don't think so either. But he didn't play all his cards, right? He didn't say you killed Zuko. He said, "I know who did this. It was Ozan."
Yeah.
Like he played into the conspiracy, right?
Yep.
That was pretty clever.
Does Zhao have a plan? Because Destiny's not a plan, and then he pulls up some, like, I don't know if it's a scroll or something with, like, the Water Tribe symbol.
It's a scroll. Oh, it's going to be...
No, I think it's a... It's
what
a
am I missing?
No, it's a scroll that's going to teach him about the Moon Spirit.
Oh.
Gotcha. That makes a lot of sense.
Yes.
Is this what he stole from the library?
Yes. Yep. Yes, he stole it from the library.
Oh.
Yeah.
Boom.
This is a lot of fun points.
Boom.
Yeah.
Yes.
Remember all this?
Yeah.
This is why the big birdie is so mad at him when we meet him.
Yeah.
It's because he went to the library, he stole this, and
there's no way this Zhao did that though, right? This Zhao is very different. There's other like I can't imagine this Zhao meeting a birdie.
In this
went to the library.
In this universe, the pirate stole this scroll instead because Katara got the scroll differently. So he got it from those pirates. That's
more accurate. That's more believable.
My eyes are starting to blur.
We're speaking Mandarin right
now. That's right.
Yes. All right, guys. Let's kind of round out this episode with our traditions here. This was a fun one. I think it was cool getting to see a whole new culture in the Northern Water Tribe, and I'm excited to see how it's all going to conclude.
Our penultimate
honestly,
episode of the show.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
not of this podcast, though, I think, because we're going to do a wrap-up, but still.
That's right. Let's hit our Sokka snacks and our MVPs really fast. Has anybody got a Sokka snack right off hand?
I got one.
Think about mine for a second. All right, Eric, go ahead.
The earnest flirting with Yue and Sokka. I was just delighted by it. I think it was wholesome. Yeah. I had a half second where I'm like, is this too fast? Is it? But then I realized, oh, no, you did meet in the spirit world. So we did kind of form that. And then they could just act on it real quick. I thought that the actors did a great job. And it was just a really nice moment.
Also, they're teenagers. What doesn't happen fast as a
teenager? Like, hey, you want to make out? Yeah? Okay, great. That sounds awesome. Oh, did a stiff breeze pass? I'm feeling a little shivery. Like, yeah, come on now.
We've all been there.
Yeah.
I think Aang kind of like, he has a moment where he kind of gives up on his friends, you know, and he's giving in to all this crap shit advice, you know, that he keeps getting. And Katara...
It is crap shit advice. I agree.
And Katara's like, no, you know, like we're going to be here with you. Like, we got this. You know, she shows off her power against Paku, which was freaking dope. And that CGI was incredible. And I still think firebending probably looks the best. But
yeah,
man, some of that ice bending is incredible.
Really fun.
Kaylin, what about you?
I think my soccer snack is Katara's hair coming down during the fight. That was just such an iconic scene. I think it happens in the original too, that it, like, Katara's power was just unleashed.
Yeah. Her hair gets disheveled.
Mm-hmm.
I think my Sokka snack, I don't think we actually talked about this. I really like that right before Aang goes into the spirit world in the shrine, that Princess Yue kind of set him up for, like, hey, so what's the guy's name again?
Korok?
Korok, yeah. Hey, Korok is, like, they always told us that he abandoned us to stay in the spirit world all this time, but I think there's more to the story. I like that she set that up. And then as soon as we meet him, he explains, listen, during my time, the spirits were trying to wage war on the human world and were trying to come over, and I had to stop that. Like, we immediately find out there was more to the story. Maybe he wasn't just a sucky avatar. Now, given he proceeds to give Aang a lot of really sucky advice,
yeah,
but
right.
Still, it sounds like he didn't just truly abandon everybody. I thought that was a smooth transition. The only thing that would have made it better is if Aang had come out of the spirit world and maybe said something to Yue, like, you were right about Korok or something like that. I think that would have been a nice closure to the story. But that was cool. I like that. Why is he all scarred up, too, by the way? Do you have any ideas about that? It's like...
the spirits.
Korok, he's like, what, did he get bit?
No, like, his body literally, like, I don't know the correct term to use, but, like, started giving up on itself, disintegrating. I mean, he was so traumatized... and his abilities were diminished, and, like, he withered away at the age of 33. Like, you know, the spirit world took an absolute toll on him. Mm-hmm. So
interesting.
But I think if I have another costume thing that I'm kind of like, I don't really understand. Like, Korok has, like, half of a wolf head on, like, and it's
a polar bear.
Okay, well, he's half a polar bear on his head.
I loved it.
It looks badass.
You should go watch it again and tell me if it's badass with a straight face. It is kind of...
I thought the jaw was weird.
He's wearing, like, scary, half dude. To the side, like he's a hipster, you know? Like,
yeah. I don't know. Okay, the jaw did not fit correctly on his head. Like, correct, yes.
Have you ever put a polar bear jaw on your head, Alec? I mean,
here's
you got a pretty big head, though. It might fit on
the
you.
The thing is, he's in the spirit realm, so technically... he should be able to make perfect fitting clothes because none of it's real.
Also, if you're going to be...
is it cold in there, though? You think he's cold?
That's true.
I mean, if you're going to be in the spirit world, are you really going to choose to live in the North Pole with nothing? And like, he doesn't even have a shack. It's just like a blizzard outside. Like, man, the dude is...
listen, speaking of...
the dude has a horrible life, and then he has a horrible life in the spirit world.
He just wanders the tundra.
I know.
An eternal blizzard.
It's like Sisyphus. Like, it's like, cold Sisyphus.
It's awful. It's terrible. You know, I actually, speaking of clothing, if I have one other pretty small flying cow for this episode, it's the fact that nobody gives Aang a coat.
I forgot. I mentioned that several times.
Yeah, as soon as they land, like Appa is covered in snow. Like, they do all this effects to make you seem like it's really freaking cold in the Northern Water Tribe. And that, like, he just gets off and starts walking. I'm like, somebody get that boy a coat, man.
Or he actually has that.
He's just constantly airbending hot air to himself, okay?
Dude, I literally said that. I was like, somebody get that boy a coat.
Because,
Like, Asaka and Katara already have their coats. They have it from their village, right? But Aang is just walking around in, like, short sleeves, man. Anyway, goofy stuff. MVP of the episode. Who was it for you guys?
Katara.
Strong one. That feels good coming from you, though, honestly. You were a little iffy about Katara, really.
I was iffy about Katara, but I think we're really developing her, and she's really coming into her own. And this is the first episode where I felt like Katara was her old self.
I agree 100%. A lot of the internet seem to think that as well. It seemed like Katara is finally coming out, which is awesome. Big fan.
UA for me.
UA for you.
Yep. I was actually Command Strain. Strain she was in. Really fun. And like knowing a little bit about what's coming up, I thought they kind of set the tone really nicely for what she's going to become.
Yeah, 100%.
I'll probably give mine to Sokka, man. I mean, that scene of him being like, go kick his ass. I mean, that was...
good brother.
That was also really good. She was like, are you going to talk to me?
I mean, look, the guy has Riz without trying... You know, he's a good older brother, and now he's seen as a warrior to everybody around. I mean, he has had the biggest glow up, you know, of any character so far.
Yeah, yeah.
It's good use of that. Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I think I'm going to pick somebody just to be arbitrary here. I'm going to give it to Han, I think.
Nice Han?
Nice Han. Han. He was
pleasant.
Good. I kept expecting it to bait. I kept expecting it to be a bait and switch. He was actually a jackass. I kept expecting that to happen.
That was kind of shocking. You're absolutely right.
Yes, but he was like chill the whole time.
He's really
like,
solid.
He's like, yeah, man. Can you teach me about like the Fire Nation and how to fight and stuff? And his teeth are freaking perfect.
Was he the one at the beginning teeth? when they're like riding in and he's like, Avatar, welcome to Agna. What is it, Agna Kular or whatever? You know, I'm pretty sure that was him. He's like on the bottom. He's like, welcome.
Yeah.
The friendliest person.
Yeah, exactly. He was that guy. He was fun. Yeah, we got this is another good episode. I think it's all kind of coming together here at the very end. I genuinely don't know what to expect out of this last episode. I haven't watched it yet. Have you guys watched it?
Yeah,
no. Watched it, right?
Nope, I obey.
I genuinely don't know what to expect.
I want
to
go watch it right now.
I'm excited. Yeah, I kind of want to go watch it right now too. Maybe we should just do that.
Watch party. No, we won't. We talk.
Last chance for predictions. Any major predictions for final episode?
I mean, Admiral Zhao has to die, or at least be thrown into the spirit world.
Is a fish fist fish to get him?
Fish monster has to come,
and
the moon fish has to be killed.
Yep,
those are my predictions. If those do not happen, I will be upset.
I think Katara is going to save Paku at some point.
She better.
Oh sure.
Or actually, I'd be fine with her letting him go.
Right, everybody needs to pick one crazy prediction that you think is going to happen in the next episode, and we'll have to swing back around this in the final episode.
Fish monster.
Caitlin says fish monster.
Is that crazy? That's canonical.
yeah, but dude, I don't know if they're going to do it.
How are they going to do it?
I'm pretty sure
he doesn't even know how to waterbend yet.
Was it in the trailer?
Pretty sure.
I don't know if it was in the trailer.
Is it
fish monster?
Pretty sure.
Yeah, I think they've set up like Paku's storyline with Katara is very different in this one, and I think there is going to be another moment where like Paku either gets saved by Katara or something like that. Like something else has to happen here for them to like break this mold of sexism. So I would imagine that we're gonna see something like that. That would be my prediction.
I think my crazy prediction would be, I think Zuko fights on the side of Team Avatar in the finale. They move his redemption up early.
Interesting. That's a fun prediction. I think my prediction is that Iroh has something to do with the failure of Zhao. He's actually somehow directly responsible for the reason that the plan doesn't
work. Very cool.
Some kind of sabotage. I think we have solidified early that Iroh and Zuko are different, right? They are not Fire Nation, right? Not really. Like they're already sort of turning coat.
Yeah, I think final prediction, the moon is actually a Death Star.
I already told you, right? It's gonna be Aang.
I'll alter mine.
Moon laser. Yeah. All right, we've been there.
All right,
I'll alter mine just a little bit. The fish monster isn't gonna be Aang.
Is it gonna be?
It's not gonna be Aang.
Yeah,
it's gonna be
the moon.
It's gonna be Avatar Kyoshi. She's the only one that can fight.
Was it Kota? I cannot remember his name when it counts. Korok actually does something
like
important.
Korok,
he actually does something cool. I don't know.
Redeems himself.
Maybe he redeems himself to his people, and they're like, "Oh my gosh, he's actually like he."
I could get behind that. That might be my prediction.
That's pretty fun.
Yeah,
behind that.
Because it seems like the people kind of have given up on him as well, right?
Everyone gave up on him.
The real fish monster was the friends we made along the way. All right, guys, that's going to do it for this week's episode of the Youtini Avatar Show. If you're looking for other fun shows, be sure to check out the rest of our lineup in the Youtini Network. We just launched a baseball podcast. That's a lot of fun. You know, Youtini is branching out from Star Wars and other nerd culture and sports, and we're trying to build a bit of a community, so check that out over in our Discord. We call that the United. A special thank you to Brian Dooley, Carl Sander, Michael Fry, and Raymond Bozinski on our High Council, and James T., Ashley Ingalls, Colton Fife, and Chris Carrizo, all at our Captain tier, for your amazing support. Let's keep the party going and hop on over to Discord. We have lots of fun channels over there about baseball and Avatar and Star Wars and all kinds of fun fandoms. Come check that out. To our fantastic listeners, you guys are the absolute heart of our community. Your stories, your voices, and your passions, that is really what makes this whole thing special. That's going to be it for us. Keep exploring, keep sharing, and let's keep having a great time together. Catch you next week for the finale of Avatar: The Last Airbender. Support for this show and all Youtini Network podcasts comes from the United Patreon community. At the heart of the Youtiniverse, the United is where our most passionate fans gather to deepen their journey through the worlds of Avatar, Star Wars, and the broader universe of nerd culture and sports. By joining the United on Patreon, you gain access to an exclusive realm filled with content that takes you behind the scenes of our YouTube channel, provides ad-free listening of all of our podcasts, and offers regular insider updates. More than just a content hub, the United is a vibrant community. Through organized events, we create connections, fostering a space where every voice is heard and valued. By becoming part of the United, you're not just supporting us, you're enhancing a community dedicated to celebrating and exploring our passions together. To start your journey, visit patreon.com/utini. Together, we can build a stronger community, united by our love for these incredible fandoms. Thank you for your support, and remember, the adventure continues in every episode of The Avatar Show and across all Youtini Network podcasts.